welcome to a WFPL news special on the NBA in Louisville. I'm Rick Hallett. This hour, we will hear various positions on the renewed effort in recent months to land an NBA team in Louisville, the possibility of a team here. Our guests are J. Bruce Miller, Louisville attorney, who for many years has been an active and vocal proponent of bringing an NBA team to town. Tyler Allen is founder of USA Image Technologies and a civic activist who also supports landing an NBA team. Elizabeth Post is here. She handles public affairs for Boxcar PR of Louisville. Her firm represents a group of clients who commissioned a feasibility study of an NBA team in Louisville. It found, among other things, that the economic benefits of having a team may not outweigh the cost of bringing one here. And welcome to Louisville Metro Councilman David Tandy. He represents Louisville's 4th District and has been involved in some of the recent exploratory NBA discussions. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
We welcome your calls at 502-814-TALK. That's 502-814-8255 or toll-free 1-877-814-TALK. That's 877-814-8255. You can also email us at news@wfpl.org. Send us a tweet at WFPL News or reach us through Facebook. And finally, before we begin, there are a couple of voices we had hoped to have here that declined to take part in this discussion. Greater Louisville, Inc., the Chamber of Commerce, says it has commissioned an NBA study of its own and does not want to make any public comment until that work is finished. We also extended an invitation to University of Louisville Athletic Director Tom Jurich about the university's position on all this as, of course, the primary tenant of the KFC Yum Center. U of L said, and I'm paraphrasing, that it has not been involved in any of the recent NBA discussions and therefore won't take part in this one. We will hear some comments from Tom Jurich that he made on the issue at a press conference some time ago. So now let's begin with J. Bruce Miller. Mr. Miller, you've been working for decades to lure an NBA franchise. It appears we've come close a couple of times, but what has kept the city from closing the deal?
Well, the problem in 2001 was the we had a signed commitment from the Charlotte Hornets ownership to transfer the team here, the Charlotte Hornets, to Louisville in January of 2002. That agreement was signed 4 days after 9/11, September 15th of 2001. It was approved by David Stern. It was approved by Colangelo and the entire transfer committee of the NBA. The Governor Patton was going to, had made the commitment to build an arena on the property where the pointed building is downtown now. I forget what it's called, but down on Main Street. The property was owned by the Blue family. They were going to contribute the property as a part of the development. KFC had committed $100 million in naming rights for the team and the arena, and it was a total done deal. It was to be announced at the press conference, at the fall meeting of the Board of Governors of the league, which was going to be conducted on 2 days beginning October 22nd. And Mayor Armstrong decided that he wanted to tweak the proposal a week and a half before the announcement, and you don't do that to 30 billionaires who own 30 teams in the NBA and David Stern and New York City and the whole rigmarole. That caused everything to stop because he did that, unfortunately. I've never known why. I don't know that there is a reasonable explanation, but I've never known why. And the ownership went to New Orleans. They were welcomed as we had welcomed them, and they decided to move the franchise there. Had that franchise been in Louisville today, the most valuable player from college last year would have been our starting center, the kid from UK,
Anthony Davis. So the team went to New Orleans. So fast forward to the present day. What makes the atmosphere right now, the environment right now, to get an NBA team here?
Well, Louisville has never changed. We've had a recession, but the recession has gone on everywhere. It doesn't have anything to do particularly with the college market. It's a totally different market than the University of Louisville enjoys. The U of L's market is basically primarily Jefferson County. The market for a major league professional franchise in a city is 100 miles from the arena or stadium site. That's the market you go by. When you include Cincinnati in our market, without an NBA team there, and it doesn't have one, and it can't afford one because it has already has two major league teams. The city isn't big enough for a third. We have population and television viewers ranking about seventh or eighth in the NBA in that market area. And that market area, with the little exception of Cincinnati, is serviced by one television cable franchise, which used to be Insight, now it's Time Warner. Mm-hmm. That's 2,200,000 television homes in that market area. And so that would rank, that gives Louisville an enormous advantage over other cities in the NBA. As a matter of fact, we would only be the seventh city in the league that was that had the entire market area serviced by one television franchise. So everybody in the industry understands that Louisville is a gold mine for an NBA franchise and a no-brainer, as one league owner has told me in the recent past. Our problem is Louisville has to decide the importance of having a global presence 9-10 months a year daily. We have to decide that it's important to have our games televised and seen by a billion people in China. It's the number one thing on the China cable TV, CCTV. And we have to understand that we can't compete in the 21st century global economy without that window on the world. It's a real test for our city. Some people want to hold it back and let it be a small village of sorts with some provinciality, which is very nice. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact of the matter is we can't exist effectively in the 21st century if we don't exercise our economic clout as a major city.
Is there a team? I know we've heard Sacramento and possibly a couple of other names. Is there a team at the top of the list that is likely to move from where it's at now and was looking at Louisville?
Well, if I were to tell you what I know, David would be quite upset with me. I spoke with him last night about this article that just appeared in Ford magazine today. So we won't go into speculation. Let's just put it this way. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't think that it was worth the effort. I've got a lot of things to do to spend my time with, including seeing my alma mater play in a bowl game on the Music City Bowl. And I got grandchildren to treat to Christmas and a lot of other things. So the reason I'm spending the time is I believe that it's worthwhile, having talked with a number of people within the industry.
And we'll get back to the Forbes article in a moment, but just to mention that it's called Why Louisville Should Top the List for an NBA Franchise, written by Darren Heitner, who I believe teaches at Indiana University and is also a sports-related attorney.
Right.
Let me turn to you, Tyler Allen. You are behind this effort, whatever effort is underway or might be underway in the future, to lure an NBA team. Why? Why are you behind it?
Well, I think it's important for the city for several reasons. There's some arguments always about whether or not you look at the numbers and you can see the direct economic benefit of a franchise. But the former mayor of Indianapolis was down here maybe 4 years ago to speak to the Greater Louisville Project Group. And at one point during that time, someone in the audience asked, well, tell us about pro sports, because as we know, oftentimes down here we'll say Indy is majorly, it's a big deal as far as the amateur sports, and they did a lot with amateur sports, but they're also a major league city now with two franchises. And he said, you really can't necessarily see the direct economic impact. All the experts will tell you that, but it's all about the intangible benefits for your city. And I think entering the NBA would have huge intangible benefits for our city with regard to branding our city in a way that's a little more appropriate for a city of our size, and quite frankly, our relationship with the rest of the state of Kentucky. I really do believe it's time that we get a team that we can all cheer for all across the state of Kentucky. I believe it's time that we sort of quit competing with the rest of the state so we can be a little more hospitable in Louisville. And it's interesting, Bruce was saying, talking about China. Well, I was in Shanghai last Thursday, and I walked into a KFC, and it's a big cutout of Jeremy Lin. See on the television Jeremy Lin, because KFC has a big sponsorship deal with him there. I see on CCTV all sorts of NBA games and players. It was incredibly prominent. And so you think to yourself, wow, that is a way using something that, quite frankly, we're pretty darn good at in this neck of the woods. Basketball is pretty important to us. It's not copying other cities. It's being uniquely and genuinely ourselves. And we've been a major league pro basketball city, and I think we should be again.
Councilman David Tandy, have you formulated a position as a councilman on whether we should pursue this?
Well, I'm certainly open to having an NBA team in our city. Similar to the points that were expressed by both Jay Bruce and by Tyler, I believe that having a presence on the national and international stage that pro sport provides you is something that would greatly benefit the city of Louisville. It's no different than the way that an athletic program on a university campus helps to promote that particular university. You give a case in point, the Northwestern University, for example, a institution of well-known academic prowess. Back in the early 90s to late 80s, when they started making their run and becoming better on football, and they went to the Rose Bowl. What the university found was an uptick in their charitable contributions from alumni across the country and around the world, because they started to see their university on the national stage. What it does is it provides more opportunities for people to have a chance to interact with the city of Louisville, whether while they're looking at a ball game, or they may be seeing the Kentucky Colonels or the Louisville whatevers on a screen. It allows for people to say, well, what is it about Louisville? And they get a chance to take a look at us a little bit more. It does help us transform ourselves from being a place that people go on the first Saturday of May every year for the Kentucky Derby into a destination point 365 days out of a year. And I think that's something that we certainly should explore and discuss.
What are you hearing from your constituents?
Well, from my constituents, I hear a number of different things. You know, I will hear those who will say, you know, we like things the way that they are. We like having the University of Louisville being the primary focus of athletics in our city. And then I hear the other argument of it as well. I look at it from my position as a council person, as an elected official for the entire, not only just the 4th Metro Council District, but indeed for the entire city, is looking at the various ways where we can maximize all of our resources, making Louisville the type of city where our children and our grandchildren will not only just live here, be educated here, go off to college, but they will also want to come back here to live, and to also bring their peers with them, such that it allows for us to be a competitive city where we can attract and retain the top talent throughout the world, and then allow for our businesses to grow and other entrepreneurial efforts to prosper.
All right, we're up against a break. We're going to bring, after the break, Elizabeth Post into the conversation. She is with Boxcar PR of Louisville, and her firm represents a group of clients who commissioned a feasibility study of an NBA team in Louisville. They said, well, you know, not so fast. Maybe this is not such a good idea after all. We're going to talk to her, and we're going to take your calls. You can reach us at 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255, or toll-free, 877-814-8255. Back with more in a moment. This is a news special on the NBA in Louisville on WFPL.
Support for WFPL comes from Murphy's Camera, dedicated to helping Kentuckiana capture great images for over 50 years. Murphy's is a full-line photo specialty store with all major brands, including the complete line of Canon digital equipment. All cameras include a photo class for two. On Bardstown Road at Eastern Parkway, Shelbyville Road Plaza, The Summit, and Clarksville, more at murphyscamera.com. From St. Vincent de Paul, a charity that serves the poor and homeless with food, shelter, and clothing at the holidays and throughout the year. St. Vincent de Paul recognizes the people who help make Christmas outreach to struggling families possible. More at svdplou.org.
And when you're visiting WFPL.org, be sure and check out the environmental blog, Smokestack. Today, Erica Peterson is writing about the difference between artificial and natural Christmas trees, and also the beginning of the second sandhill crane hunting season in Kentucky. That's at WFPL.org. You're listening to 89.3 WFPL.
Welcome back to this news special on 89.3 WFPL. We're talking about the possibility of bringing an NBA team to Louisville, and our guests are attorney Jay Bruce Miller, businessman Tyler Allen, Also, Louisville Metro Councilman David Tandy. And Elizabeth Post is here. She is with Boxcar Public Relations, and her firm facilitated a study on behalf of some clients. And the study says, well, you know, the cost of luring a team here and associated expenses may not be worth what returns we might get with an NBA team. And Elizabeth, I want to welcome you into the program.
Thank you.
Tell us, first of all, who commissioned this study? Who are your clients?
It's a group of business people from around the community. It's chaired by two media, I guess one is a former media executive, Keith Hall, formerly of Insight Communications, and also George Demery. It's a broad group headlining under Home Court Advantage. So they commissioned an economic study to look into the economics of an NBA franchise in Louisville. A group out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, wrote the report, and basically it's saying that it's, as you said, not going to bring in the returns anticipated. However, I just want to clarify that the main focus of our group, aside from this economic study, is that the NBA for Louisville is not a wise choice in the Yum Center. That would is going to involve breaking a 30-year contract with the University of Louisville, as well as many other implications. For instance, it would immediately throw out the women's basketball program from Yum. It is going to take away all the NCAA events. I mean, we just had the volleyball finals here. So it creates a lot of scheduling conflicts. However, we are not against a private owner coming in, taking the Forbes article that was released today and saying, hey, I want to try this out. I want to try this out in the city of Louisville, play at Freedom Hall, once renovated, play at a different facility. But I think that there's a lot of things that come into play when we go back to the University of Louisville and say, hey, we need to renegotiate your contract that you signed. So that's really the position of our Home Court Advantage group. And in addition, I think this whole issue is raising a lot of questions. I'm nearly 30 years old. I grew up here. A lot of my friends did. They moved away to college. They came back. I went to the University of Louisville. And I will say that a lot of my friends are moving back to this city because they love its size. They've lived in New York. They lived in Chicago. They love the size of Louisville. They love the collegiate atmosphere of Louisville. And they're moving back because of jobs. I believe that our city's focus needs to be on bringing companies in, on bringing tourist attractions, convention dollars, visitor dollars. And to take a gamble with an NBA team is not a good direction given the economic times.
Now, is the University of Louisville one of your clients?
They are a client of Boxcar PR, but they have not been involved in this situation.
Okay, Mr. Miller, I'm going to give you a chance here. Show some respect, please, but I want to give you a chance.
You have disagreed
vehemently with the findings of this study. First of all, can an NBA team and the University of Louisville basketball teams coexist in the Yum Center?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Well, there's no question about it. They coexist in a dozen arenas around the country. I can cite you chapter and verse about that. The scheduling conflicts are as Jonathan Blue said in the meeting with the mayor and the group that met back in September, the scheduling conflicts allegation is a fraud. It doesn't exist. They have three different events almost every day, at two different events almost every day in Madison Square Garden. It doesn't take but 30 minutes to take up one floor and put another floor down. If you had two, it's just preposterous. Okay, so that's an excuse that isn't valid. The comedy with regard to the Boxcar thing is that, of course, the university is a client of the Boxcar. The two main contributors are hiding behind these two fellows she mentioned. One of them is Dr. Benz, Lawrence Benz, and the other is a Mark Lynn, who owns the Dr. Beiser's. They're big U of L fans, and that's fine. So my son is a big U of L fan. But to hide behind that and try to act like they don't have an, so to speak, axe to grind is unfortunate. The fact of the matter is that among the nine All-American basketball players that the University of Louisville ever had that are first string, six of them occurred during the were recruited and played during the time that the Kentucky Colonels played in Louisville, starting with Wes Unseld and Butch Beard and Jimmy Price and Junior Bridgman and Wesley Cox, all first string All Americans, and didn't have anything, and they were in the Final Four virtually every year. Denny Crum knew how to use it as a recruiting tool and not be opposed to it, and it was very, very helpful. Louisville was the center of the basketball world at the time. You could go down to the Dirt Bowl and see Dr. Jade. I picked him up at the airport and took him there a couple of times, playing against Daryl Griffith, tell you that. So to say that these kind of things, and one last point, and then I'll close my position. The argument that was just made was that it doesn't produce financial results. And the article that they wrote said the only dollar revenue for the entire NBA team would be the income tax or the occupational tax that the team players paid. Well, if that was the way you judged the value of a franchise in Louisville or a basketball team in Louisville, the University of Louisville would be worth nothing because the players aren't paid. The argument they make that the only value would be the tax of the players is utterly preposterous. Memphis did a study to show that they cite, but they don't tell you the result. $223 million annual. The Memphis Chamber of Commerce determined that's the value of the Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis, and that is 70% as valuable as the Kentucky Derby is to Louisville in terms of dollars. So these people have an axe to grind, and they don't know what they're talking about.
All right. Well, I promised we would hear from the University of did you want to respond, Elizabeth?
Well, I just to the comment that, you know, we're hiding behind people. Like I said, we have two co-chairs to the organization. You cited Dr. Larry Benz, Dr. Mark Lynn. As I said, this is a vast group of business people supporting it. If you want to call out individual names, that's fine. Are people U of L supporters in this group? Yeah, they absolutely are. I am a U of L graduate. I'm a U of L supporter. There's nothing wrong with that. If you wanted to ask me would I like to attend an NBA game? Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be great. However, our position is it's not going to work in the Yum Center because you are going to have to throw out your current tenant that holds a 30-year contract. And there's no way that space could be shared appropriately if you look at markets like Memphis Grizzlies. Take a look at their arena. There's no mention of the University of Memphis. That cardinal bird on the side of Yum is going to be taken down. There's no way an NBA owner is going to be comfortable with cardinal birds and the University of Louisville branded all around the arena. So I think realistically, sharing the space is not going to work. I don't think it's going to work from U of L's perspective or for an NBA owner that wants the absolute best for his team and organization.
I promise we would hear from a University of Louisville athletic director, Tom George. Again, he declined to come on the program today, but he's been asked about it at various press conferences over the past couple of months. This is him in October, and he says, you know, we wanted a campus arena, and we were persuaded to go downtown, and now this.
We went in, and really the only group that took a hit on this whole deal was us. Because, number one, we didn't get to stay where we wanted. I didn't think it was a pipe dream because we're sitting where the silos are. And you get those same 100,000 cars a day going by. It would have been a great vista for athletics, and it would have been on campus, which I think everybody knows how important it's been for us to turn this campus in from a commuter campus to the residential campus it is today. So we did it, and we've made our promises, and we've done what we said we would do. And that's all we want to protect. And we will not stand in the way of anybody, but we want to protect our contract. Because we did ours in good faith.
And you mentioned the silos. That would be off I-65 where U of L had proposed building an arena before they agreed to go downtown. Let me direct this to you, Councilman Tandy. I mean, can there be a way to have an NBA team play in the Yum Center and work out an agreement with the University of Louisville that will make everybody happy?
I believe that there will be. If all parties that are involved are willing to work together, certainly the current lease that is on the table right now is one that is very attractive for the University of Louisville, and I don't fault them for that. The benefit that we as a city received is that we now have a major venue in downtown Louisville, that we are able to position ourselves to be able to go after events like the NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament. It's my dream that one day we'd have the Women's Final Four be hosted here. We've already seen that the men's regional championships or early round games are being played here. And what does that do for us overall in a global context from the entire city of Louisville? It's allowed for more people to come to downtown Louisville. Tax dollars are generated that then allows for us to help us in our overall general fund. But that is from my position as a elected official for not only representing just downtown Louisville, but all of Metro Louisville. It is to how do we maximize our assets? How do we make sure that with that arena that is downtown, that we have more and more events coming down there, that is generating more and more revenue, that is increasing the revenue that is produced by the TIF for the area around the arena, that is paying off the bonds for the arena. And when we see in the news that all the financial woes that we're currently experiencing with the arena because we're not generating the revenue that we had anticipated under the current deal, it causes us to take a look at things and to say, how can we bring more venues or events in there? And how can we work with the University of Louisville to allow for us to be able to do similar to what was done in Washington, D.C. when the University of Louisville played Georgetown in, I believe it was like a late February, early March, a few years ago for the Big East Championship. Mm-hmm. Louisville played Georgetown at noon at the MCI Center in downtown D.C. in Chinatown. That night at 7 o'clock, LeBron James and then Cleveland Cavaliers came into town to play the Washington Wizards. You had two major sporting events taking place within less than 24 hours in an area, and that part of town was continually buzzing, and you had revenue coming in. Because let's be honest with ourselves. Louisville is trying to attract all people to our city, not just those who grew up here and have left and come back home, but we're also trying to attract people like me who grew up in Owensboro, Kentucky, or for that matter, who grew up in New York City or Madrid, Spain, and have them come here. And some of them may not have a direct contact with the University of Louisville. They surely won't become University of Louisville fans, but what they may have a tie to is some particular pro team that they've seen or they grew up with, and to have the opportunity to be able to see that team come to their town to live is a plus for them as well.
So, excuse me, Councilman, I just wanted to ask, if, for instance, an NBA franchise were to come in and try to negotiate, would you take a preferential stand against U of L in the negotiations? Or, I mean, how would that work just in terms of scheduling or sharing that arena?
Well, Elizabeth, you know, when I come to a particular situation, I'm looking mm-hmm. at trying to be a honest broker for all parties involved. Mm-hmm. So I look at then my job would be to be a mediator. I recognize that University of Louisville certainly has their position that they want to espouse. They want to be able to maximize the revenue that's generated off of there. I certainly understand that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I also understand the need for from a arena authority standpoint to be able to generate the most revenue that it can through the TIF district, or from that matter, from the arena itself that it's generating, in order to be able to pay off bonds and make that venture a profitable mm-hmm. one. So therefore, the interests that are involved here are not mutually exclusive to each other. And mm-hmm. to then to try to present it as such does not do us as a community an honest service to all of us. So I think there, you know, as we look at this, to out of hand say, well, just because you're talking about bringing the NBA to that particular venue, attempts to create a chilling effect that is not necessary at this particular juncture.
I'll let you respond, Elizabeth, sure. Then I want to take a call. Go ahead.
Well, I also wanted to ask, I think the mayor was quoted a completely separate separate event, but it has to do with the Cordish deal and 4th Street Live, and he was quoted as saying that because it was a deal that took place during a different administration, that he would honor those terms. And I guess my question is really, what is the difference there? We've had trouble at 4th Street Live and making that profitable. So what makes this different, Cordish and UL?
Let me first off, I'm not familiar with the statement from which the mayor spoke as it relates to the Cordish and 4th Street Live, so I can't speak to that. But let me take it out of that particular context. And since we're speaking in hypotheticals, then is Elizabeth, your position that because you have an agreement that's in place, and then the parties aren't able to fully execute that agreement, that then because the deal was what the deal was, even if it means it's to the particular detriment of one of the parties, or for that matter, for both parties, then you should still go forward with it blindly?
Well, I guess that's not really my, you know, our concern is that, you know, the mayor did hold a meeting concerning the NBA and his concerns about the arena, but the other party, the University of Louisville, was not invited to the meeting.
But so, my understanding is that that's not a completely accurate statement, that prior to that meeting taking place, there was communication that was made with the university. They were aware of it, but they just chose not to participate in it.
I disagree with that.
Well, let me steer the argument away from that, and I respect your all's opinions, but I want to get to some calls here. At 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255, or toll-free 877-814-8255. This is a WFPL news special on the possibility of bringing an NBA team to Louisville. And let's go to Indiana and Eric. Hi, Eric. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Eric. Thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate all the comments. I'm an international IT consultant, so I appreciate the global aspect of or the global advantage this could provide us as a city. But at the same time, my current contract is at the state of Indiana, and last week I paid $7 to go see the Pacers from someone scalping tickets on the street because the arena is not full because the team's not good. That doesn't equate to dollars being made. You cited Memphis as a prime example of a success in a market about our size. Well, Memphis is a very successful, very good team, so they do sell a lot of tickets. You can go to the Philadelphia 76ers, who've been in the league long, long ago. Matter of fact, I remember watching the Sixers play the Kentucky Colonels as a young man, paid $5 to go in and see the Colonels, and they were also not sold out at the time, so the team didn't make money, and that's also why the ABA was dissolved. So the Philadelphia 76ers, and I'll make this last comment, and then I'll step off to hear everyone else, but the Sixers this year had tickets being sold because the team was so bad, being sold on StubHub by season ticket holders who will not buy tickets again the next year for one penny per seat. There were many of them sold at that price, and people were wearing bags on their heads. That's not the picture we want on ESPN or globally. So we have to consider that, and also consider that, you know, Michael Jordan owns a team in Charlotte. Which wouldn't want to leave college and go play for Michael Jordan? Sign me up. Well, unfortunately, his team's no good because kids don't want to go to Charlotte, North Carolina. They would rather go to L.A. or to New York or to Brooklyn or to Miami or to some cool town. And, yes, Memphis isn't a cool town. Maybe Elvis was. I think that would be an issue for us. And while the New Orleans Hornets did get the number one draft pick, They got that draft pick because they were one of the worst teams in the league.
All right, Eric, thanks for your call. Well, I guess, you all can respond to this, but that's incumbent on the ownership to field a good team, right?
Yes, it's obvious what side of the equation he's coming from. Eric doesn't like the NBA. Let me see if I can, within a minute or so, without occupying too much time, help educate Eric, who obviously needs some. The NBA, each team last year I don't know what the number was in August of this year, but in August of last year, each NBA team received an equal division of the international cable television revenue, and that check was $57 million. Okay? So approximately one half of the revenue stream for a basketball, an NBA, each NBA basketball team, with the exception of a few, was covered by one check in the form of an international TV revenue check. The average attendance in an NBA game, paid attendance in Oklahoma City, is absolute full capacity. Oklahoma City is smaller than the city of Louisville, and 16 miles from the center of downtown Oklahoma City exists one of the major athletic collegiate programs in America called the University of Oklahoma. It has not adversely impacted the University of Oklahoma. It has enormously helped the university because their revenue stream has increased since the NBA was in Oklahoma City from $80 million a year to $120 million a year. So basically, I would say to Eric that you're entitled to your opinion, and I respect that, but you're not entitled to your own facts.
All right, 502-814-8255 is the number to call to ask a question or make a comment about the possibility of bringing an NBA team in Louisville. We've had some folks holding for a long time. Let's get to Troy in Louisville. Hi, Troy, you still there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
My question is about ticket sales and ticket prices. Well, they always say that you can get tickets for $7 to $10. Now, I went to a game to see the Spurs, because that's my favorite team, and I had to pay $120 for the cheapest seat. When good teams come, you have to pay more money, and if they have you got to figure 18 of the 30 or 32 teams are really good, you know? So half the time you're going to pay more for tickets. I'd love to see them bring a team. I really would.
Go ahead, Councilman Tandy.
Well, thank you, Troy. I appreciate your call, and I certainly share your concern with regard to ticket prices. And I think therein, that is the responsibility of a good business or a good team owner to operate their business in such a way that it not only do they put a good product on the floor, but they create a positive fan experience for people in their community or in their surrounding area coming to the game. I think with that, that's where we'll have to. It would be incumbent upon that owner to make sure that their tickets are such to where it makes sense. And then I think when you look at how the modern NBA or modern pro sports, where they generate their revenue, they're generating it not so much from the ticket sales at the gate for people watching it in person, but they're selling to a broader TV audience that's going to be watching the games. And so that's where I think you can come up with strategies that allow for lower ticket prices for in-person viewing, but be able to get to that larger body of people out there.
Troy, thanks for your call. We are in the midst of a new special on the NBA in Louisville, the possibility of having a team, keeping a team in Louisville. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more in a moment. This is a new special on 89.3 WFPL.
Support for WFPL comes from Baptist Health, wishing peace on earth and good health to all this holiday season. Baptist Health, feel better. From the Clifton Center, hosting the Give a Jam to End Homelessness, Thursday from 6 to 11, featuring music from Scott Carney, Andrea Davidson, Justin Lewis, Tyrone Cotton, John Cage, and others, and foods from local restaurants to benefit the Coalition for the Homeless. Tickets and information at cliftoncenter.org or Carmichael's on Frankfort Avenue.
And coming up after the NBA news special here on WFPL, it's Talk of the Nation at 2 o'clock. In the first hour, the latest in Syria, and the second hour, how the lives of those who bear witness to tragedy can change forever. That's Talk of the Nation at 2 o'clock here on 89.3 WFPL. 43 degrees right now in Louisville. Skies are in the process of clearing. We'll see some sunshine as the day goes on here. Again, the current temperature is 43.
Stand by. Welcome back to WFPL and our new special on the NBA in Louisville. We're talking about whether we can or should lure an NBA team to Louisville and whether Louisville can support such a team. We're talking about it with Louisville attorney J. Bruce Miller, Tyler Allen, local businessman, Elizabeth Post from the PR firm Boxcar, and Louisville Metro Councilman David Tandy. We welcome your calls. We're going to get some calls in here at 502-814-8255 or toll-free 877-814-8255. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment, but Tyler Allen had a point he wanted to make.
This is one of the reasons I'm very pleased that you all are doing this special today, and I hope it's the first of many, because what I'm most concerned about as a business person here is to get some facts out on the table so that we as a community can make a judgment about what is best for the city of Louisville. Now, that will sometimes be relevant as to what's good for the University of Louisville. All sorts of things will play into that. But the past two calls have sort of highlighted something about this conversation. They were diametrically opposed phone calls. One saying, oh, my golly, I'm afraid we're not going to ever sell enough tickets, and they'll be giving them away, and we'll be embarrassed. And one of them is, oh, my golly, they'll be so expensive, which, by the way, they're expensive because they're in demand. So, oh, my golly, they'll be so great. They'll be like Oklahoma City, where it's just thriving. Okay, so that tends to be somewhat of our problem here. I just want us to be able, and the reason I'm involved in this conversation is to get the facts out on the table, to be able to look at a place like we have the examples of the basketball arena shared by college teams and pro teams. You have examples of arenas shared by multiple pro teams. Staples Center is shared by the Kings, the Clippers, and the Lakers, the granddaddy of them all with 41 game home schedules. Last spring, they were all in the playoffs. They all had with ice. One of those teams plays on ice. So there's a lot of information to get out about this subject. Also, things like in Indianapolis, even when the Pacers were great, when Reggie was at his best, there were $2,810 tickets in that building. You know, when things got in demand, maybe not, but most of the time. And one of the things that's important for this question with regard to ticket sales is entertainment options for the citizens of Louisville. So do the math on a 40-game home schedule for professional basketball. And basically, it is something people could go to, and there are over 100,000 tickets available in any season. They simply aren't available to other things. When you have an arena, what's great for Louisville about this arena, one of the reasons David was speaking of why it's so great that it's downtown, is because people come down to go to the arena. Well, you would only want lots of people at one time. You want some people all the time. And so if you have 14,000 people down there for an NBA game as opposed to 22 for a U of L game, but you have them 41 times a year, that really, really impacts the downtown. And that was one of the leveraging points of building this arena.
All right, let's go ahead.
Well, I wanted to add that you can't take into account NBA games plus all the U of L games plus the events, because an NBA's arrival is going to, first of all, kick out all women's basketball teams because of scheduling conflicts. The opening rounds of the NBA tournament are out. The volleyball championships are out because the scheduling cannot happen. So it is this catch-22 battle. But I also wanted to raise a concern of how, you know, right now I think the mayor has said that we are in the process of getting prepared. We're getting prepared for an NBA team. But I think there is something that we're not thinking about, and that's taxpayer money, and how is that being used, and can it be used for something other than luring an NBA team? Because I believe that there are many organizations that can do quite well, including the Louisville Orchestra, our library system, tourist attractions we haven't even thought of, where that money can be used for something a lot better and a lot more beneficial and immediate.
All right, let's get back to some other voices from the phone here before we run out of time. This is Jeff in Louisville. Hi, Jeff, you still there?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to counter Ms. Post there for a second. The arena's already built, so I mean, if you're talking about money going towards that, I mean, we need things that are going to be in that arena. Like Tyler was saying, the 41 home dates. Most of the NBA games are on Friday nights, and there's absolutely nothing going on down there. So if we get 15,000 people, that's 600,000 additional people downtown in the TIF, and spending money downtown that aren't there already. And that was all my points right there.
Thanks, Jeff.
I do understand that the arena is already built, but I think we need to understand that there's going to be a lot of changes that need to be made to the arena. A, are we going to break the lease with the University of Louisville? If we do not, if U of L is in agreement to share the space with an NBA team, what needs to change with the branding of the space? How are we going to change it to suit an NBA team? If you all are familiar with the locker rooms down there, I don't think an NBA team is going to be comfortable with everything being branded U of L, and U of L is going to be okay with sharing that space. So I think there's a lot of costs that are going to range into millions of dollars that, unfortunately, taxpayers are going to foot the bill given our city's fiscal situation.
All right. If I could comment on the taxpayers for a minute.
Very quickly.
I will. Last year, the taxpayers paid $10 million out of the city coffers to support an arena that's virtually bankrupt. And it will pay another $10 million this year, and they're not paying principal yet. When the principal payment comes, it'll be another $15 million a year, so that the loss will to the taxpayers will be between $25 and $30 million a year. I think there's a far better, I agree with Ms. Post, there's a far better way to spend the taxpayers' money, and certainly one of them is not bailing out a bankrupt arena that is bankrupt because the University of Louisville only plays 20 games there.
All right, I want to get back to the phone and get the rest of our voices in here because we have a lot of people waiting on the line. Jesse has a comment about branding. Jesse's in the university area. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, with respect to the, you know, two potential teams sharing that arena, it was mentioned that all these cardinal birds would have to be removed, and symbolically any self-respecting, you know, owner would have a problem with such a large U of L branding presence at the arena. But, you know, when I go to many games there, and when I think about the Yum Center, I don't really think of it as a symbol for the University of Louisville. I think it as a symbol for, you know, Yum Brands. So I don't really see a problem there.
All right. Let's go to Joe, who says, what's wrong with Freedom Hall? Jai, Joe.
Yeah. How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
First, I don't know why we're tugging at the NBA, but since we are, for how they treated us back in 76, but what's wrong with Freedom Hall? Let them prove themselves, and you can get that relatively cheap compared to what Yum would be. And great place to play basketball, has a history. What's wrong with it?
Mr. Miller, I think we spoke, it's been a year or so ago, there was a possibility of some foreign investors moving in and renovating Freedom Hall. What's the latest on that?
Well, those were the five Chinese that had control of the CCTV in China, and they would have been interested in that. I'd spoken with the governor about it, and I'd spoken with the mayor Fisher was aware of it. But we're not making any overtures right now to those five Chinese, and they've lost some interest as a result of the lockout, which made them gave them cold feet. There's nothing wrong with Freedom Hall. I would say that Freedom Hall is a fine place. It needs refurbishment. The problem with it is if we were going to use Freedom Hall, the University of Louisville would be still objecting to it.
I disagree with that.
Well, I know they would. Okay. They've already told me they would.
Let me try to get a couple of more calls here. This is Harold in Prospect. Hey, Harold, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you. I lived in Sacramento for 18 years. I was there when the Kings came, and that didn't seem to do too much for Sacramento, except that they were always asking them for money and to build another arena and then to move it downtown and then to threaten to leave. And it cost the taxpayers a lot of money, and it just didn't seem to do very much for Sacramento. And so I don't really see right now how an NBA team would do much for Louisville, Kentucky either. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Jay in West Louisville. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking this call.
Go right ahead.
Alexander. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken with Mr. Bruce Miller before about my aspirations of being a sports agent. And in order for me to obtain that particular goal, this city would have to be a little more productive. But let me just speak to what I do understand as far as the 109 days that the Yum Center was looking to pack the arena over the course of the year. I believe they fell short only 75 days, which is 34 days short of their goal to generate revenue in that arena. Well, if you bring the NBA, you have 41 more games and opportunity to generate more money. So my point would be that seven more games over the 109 mark that the university, I mean, that the Yum Center was looking to create. And just simple math, real quick, if you do 10,000 $10 tickets, that's $4.1 million. If you do 65 $40 tickets, that's $10.8 million. And if you do $1,000, $6,500 seats at $1,000, that's $6.5 million. The city could use that. The Yum Center could use that. Everybody could use that, and we could all benefit from that. That's just simple mathematics.
All right, Jay, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Chris in St. Matthews. Hello, Chris. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. This is in regards to the boxcar study about talking about the taxpayers. Right now, won't the taxpayers be footing the bill if not more nights are in there? And also to the businesses near the arena, when they decided to move down there, and the ones that were already there kind of lucked out, but they're being taxed additionally for the arena being there, correct?
Is that the
tax entertainment district? Yes.
Yes. So aren't they kind of getting the short end of the stick when it's an underutilized arena? And, you know, I'm not a fan of Disney on Ice, but you know what? My nephew is, and he goes to it. You know, there's a portion of interested in it. In regards to logos on the arena, I'm a U of L season ticket holder. I'm a fan. I went down to the game in Memphis. There were Grizzly fans, or there were Grizzly logos and Tigers logos around the arena, so I don't know where that came from. But
okay. No, they do share signage. I guess there's no doubt that there's trouble with the Yum Arena, but I think we need to understand that it is finally under the correct management with AEG, and that progress is being made. I mean, look at all the announcements. We have Bon Jovi, Kid Rock, Fleetwood Mac, Luke Bryan, Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. Tons and tons of events are popping up. And to put an NBA team there is going to reverse all of that progress and bring a huge, huge burden on taxpayers more than what they already have.
All right, we're going to have to agree to disagree and lively discussion this hour. Thank you all for joining us today. Of course, we'll be talking about this much more in the coming weeks and months. Thanks to Jay Bruce Miller, Tyler Allen, Elizabeth Post, and David Tandy for joining us today. Thank you, one and all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks.
That's all the time we have for today's program. This WFPL News Special was produced by the WFPL News staff, our production team led by Laura Ellis and Brad Yost. I'm Rick Howlett. Thanks for listening.